Doctor Who, A Blue Box, A Traveller and Two Strangers by James Quinton. Read by Tony Galichon. The multicoloured nightclub lights twisted and turned in every conceivable direction as throbbing bass-heavy music pumped out from the speakers. The club, Vagabonds, was packed with people out for the night. Amongst the throng stood the diminutive figure of Alice Morgan. She gazed out onto the dance floor, watching people moving their bodies to the latest beats while sipping on a warm glass of orange juice. She brushed back her long red hair, looked around, and out of the corner of one of her blue eyes spotted Chandresh, and restlessly waved him over. "Hey," she said, raising her voice to be heard over the loud music. "Have you seen her?" "Nah, not yet," Chand replied, his eyes scanning the club. "I don't know how you talked me into this," Alice muttered. "Uh-huh," replied Chand, ignoring her remark. Alice rolled her eyes and took another sip of the orange juice. "Perhaps she stood you up," she commented, grimacing as the fluid went down her throat. Chand frowned. "You said she was meeting you here at 10. It's now 12:15.
I know,
Chand responded as he continued to survey the club. "I don't know why you couldn't come by yourself."
"Who comes to a club on their own?" he questioned.
"Well, can we go then?" she asked.
"Go?" "Yes, go,"
she reiterated, looking up at Chand's sweaty face. She'd only known Chandresh Singh a short time since coming to London to study history at university. Saturday nights in a club were not really her scene. She preferred more cultural evenings out. Alice had spent the first 20 years of her life in the small Welsh town of Blackwood, and coming to London was a dramatic change to everything she'd known before. Chand, by contrast, had grown up in London, having been shipped from one dotty relative to another after his parents had died when he was very young. Chand had talked Alice into accompanying him to Vagabonds to meet a girl he met the week previously. His usual circle of friends had gone on a boys' weekend to Brighton. He was taking some computer course at university, and they lived on the same floor in the university student accommodation. "You should lighten up, Elle. Have some fun. You might find the man of your dreams here," remarked Chand, giving her a cheesy grin. "Fat chance, and don't call me Elle," she retorted. "Oh, okay. I have to admit, it doesn't look like she's going to show. She should have gone to Brighton," he mused.
"So can we go?"
"Yeah, if you want," he regretfully conceded. "But you may be responsible for me not meeting my future wife, though." "Yeah, right," she laughed.
"Come on, then. You're going to finish your drink."
Alice stared at the liquid.
No, I don't think so."
Outside, the cold, late autumn London air hit them, and they both dug their hands deep into their coat pockets for warmth. Even though it was bitter, Alice was relieved to be out of the club. The Somers town streets were eerily quiet for a Saturday night, even for such a late hour. Taking Chan's shortcut through the back streets of the area, it was only a 10-minute walk back to their student housing. As they walked, ahead of them, out of the darkness, came two men. They were dressed identically, black suits, white shirts, black ties. Both were wearing bowler hats. Chand raised his eyebrows at Alice as the couple came closer into view. "Perhaps they're going to a fancy dress party," Chand whispered. "Maybe," said Alice, stifling a giggle at the bizarre dual sartorial dress of the duo. As the men approached, they both tipped their hats in unison, and in perfect pitch said, "Evening."
"Evening,"
Chand replied with a wry smile, with Alice giving them a smile too.
"Hey," muttered Alice. "Maybe they go into a fancy dress party as those two from..."
Before she could finish her sentence, one of the two men said, "Excuse me." And when Alice and Chand turned, they saw one of the men pointing his umbrella at them. They stared, bemused, for a split second before a flashing purple light shot out from the tip of the umbrella and went straight between them.
"You missed!"
screamed the other man.
"What the f—"
Chand cried.
"Run, Chand!"
yelled Alice as the other flash narrowly missed her. Both Chand and Alice dashed down a side street.
"What was that?"
Chand asked.
"How should I know?" replied Alice in a panic.
Both looked back and saw the two men striding after them.
"Come on,"
said Chand urgently, grabbing Alice's hand. As they ran, a continuous stream of flashing bright purple light exploded around them. As they turned down another side street, Alice spotted the phone box and ran up to it.
"We've got to call the police. I know I should have put my mobile."
"I can't get a signal," said Chand, holding his mobile in the air.
"The door won't open," she cried.
"Let me have a go."
"Who's ever heard of a locked phone box? There's no keyhole,"
said Alice, as they both repeatedly tried to open the door in desperation.
"They're coming,"
cried Chand, as the two men appeared out of the darkness.
"Let's get out of here."
"Oh, God," shrieked Alice. The pair continued to dash along the back streets with the two men in pursuit. Eventually, they reached an alleyway, and looking down it, saw the stranger at welcoming sight of a blue box which had lit up around it the words, "Police Box."
"Oh, thank you," Alice cooed in relief.
"What's a police box?" asked Chand cautiously. Who cares? Alice shouted as she ran towards it. Maybe there's a policeman on the toilet inside it. The pair ran up to the blue box and pushed open the door and stepped in. Oh. My. God. Uttered Alice as she and Chand gazed upon the inside of the blue box. They stood for a second in shock, gasping at the interior of what they thought was a small box. From the other side of the room, a man dressed smartly in a suit with an open neck, white shirt appeared at a doorway.
Hello,
he said. Chand and Alice both screamed and turned and ran out of the blue box.
Hang on,
the man replied after them.
It's okay.
What the hell was that? Asked Chand as they stumbled back onto the alleyway.
I don't know,
Alice replied, taking an apprehensive glance around the back of the box.
We must have had our drink spiked, Chand. This is all too crazy. Alice, run!
Shouted Chand as the two men appeared around the corner. The pair began running and the two men picked up their pace. Chand and Alice were heading for a dead end. The door of the blue box opened and out popped the man's head. He watched as the two men raised umbrellas and fired at those two strangers. In an instant, they vanished. The man pulled his head back inside the box and quietly closed the doors shut. Deep beneath the city of London, out of sight and sound from everything and everyone, three tall, muscular, green-skinned creatures studied a three-dimensional rotating image. Their glee was obvious when two identically dressed humanoids appeared at the forefront of the image and told them that they had two more humans captured. The three creatures smiled and reached for their weapons.
A new hunt begins,
growled one of the creatures before all three of them vanished in a light blue haze. A moment ago, Chand and Alice realized in horror that they'd run into a dead end. Now it was daylight, but they were still in the alleyway, although they were now facing back out onto the street.
What the hell is going on? Asked Chand, falling to his knees in desperation.
I'm not sure, replied Alice, but at least we're not being chased. Maybe it's Sunday morning, maybe we've just woken up.
Oh, could be, but I don't feel like I've had any sleep,
Chand replied. And it's just too quiet, and that police box is gone.
Oh, yeah, replied Alice. It's as if it wasn't even there in the first place.
What do you mean?
Well, it was too crazy to be real. I think our drinks were spiked, Chand.
Maybe. But I was only drinking water and you only had orange juice. Who would spike soft drinks?
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of strange folk out there.
Come on, said Alice, offering him her hand.
Let's see if we can get home.
Chand took a hand with a smile and she helped pull him to his feet. Okay, Al, let's go. The pair walked out of the alleyway onto the street. The street was deserted. No cars, no people, no sound, nothing.
You got a watch on, Chand? Alice asked.
Yeah, it's... he began.
Oh, it stopped.
Can you get a signal on your mobile? Chand pulled his mobile from his jacket pocket.
No, nothing.
Where's that Chinese restaurant gone? Asked Alice.
I don't know.
The buildings are different, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Chand, do you get the feeling we're not where we think we are?
As the two stared at each other in contemplation, a folded newspaper blew to their feet. It was a copy of the Times. Chand and Alice looked at each other and bent down to pick the paper up, and they noticed that the Times wasn't written in the familiar font type. Chand and Alice's eyes widened as they read the date, 2nd of October, 1946. Something else was odd, too. The front page was blank, but then it was suddenly and strangely read in bold type, Open me.
Does that mean us?
Alice asked Chand. Chand unfolded the paper and below, Open me, it read,
Yes, it does.
He opened the paper and words began to appear on the page. I'm connecting to you telepathically via the TARDIS, it read. The TARDIS is my ship that you stepped into, the blue box. Fortunately, you were inside long enough for the TARDIS to connect with you. Oh, well, I'm the Doctor, by the way. I'm a traveller, and I'm going to save you. Alice and Chand gawped at each other in amazement. The next line read, Please turn over. You're wondering where you are, they read.
Yes,
Alice mumbled into the paper. You've been kidnapped by a rather nasty bunch of intergalactic hunters called the Alloc. They've created a bottled universe, a recreation of London, I presume, where they transport humans. Please turn over. Chand shuffled the paper to the next page. To hunt and kill. Aliens? ETs? Chand stuttered.
Yes, read the paper. Are you an alien? Asked Alice.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Wow, said Chan, rubbing his temple.
Wow,
replied Alice to Chan's matter-of-fact response.
Well, yeah, wow, said Chan, smiling.
Don't you think?
What do you mean, not really? Aliens, Alice, it's true, we're not alone, enthused Chan.
I feel pretty alone right now, murmured Alice. The date on the paper says it's 1946, Chan told the paper.
It does?
Yes, odd. Alocs usually place stock in the mirror time to their own so that they don't realise that they've been taken, the paper read. Anyway, the TARDIS has identified that their base of operations is under St. Paul's Cathedral. I'll make my way there and stop them. But until I get there, you'll have to please turn over, stay alive.
Okay, replied Chan.
What are your names, by the way? The paper asked.
I'm Chand and she's Alice, replied Chand.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Now hurry.
Chand and Alice glared at the paper in disbelief, but any notion that what they'd been told to them was untrue soon disappeared as a thundering crack of lightning whizzed over their heads. They both turned in terror and their eyes widened to take in the horrific sight that confronted them. Three elephant-like animals, adorned with horns and striped in a variety of garish colours, slowly trundled forward. On top of each, in leather-like baskets, were green-skinned creatures with three eyes, each holding a huge firearm which was pointed at them. Hanging from the basket seemed to be human remains, skinned, burnt, and butchered. The creatures cackled, sucked from goblets, and drove their steeds onwards with whips.
Chand! Shrieked Alice. I know! Run! Said Chand,
dropping the paper as they fled. The pair sprinted away with cackles of insane laughter following them. The open page read, And good luck!
The air contracted, then expanded as the TARDIS materialised in a dark corner next to St. Paul's Cathedral. The Doctor emerged, sonic screwdriver in hand.
Right now, where are you hiding? He muttered to himself. He glanced up at a cathedral which was illuminated for the night. It looked quite magnificent, he thought.
His sonic device led him towards a stone sarcophagus. He ran his hands along the tomb, admiring the carvings in the stone before changing the setting on the screwdriver. A click emanated, and one side of the stone retracted down, leaving an opening in the clearly empty burial chamber. The Doctor bent down, checked that the coast was clear, and slid in. He found himself at the top of a set of descending steps. Switching the screwdriver off and placing it in his jacket pocket, he made his way down. The hidden path was lit on either side by a series of circular discs fixed to the walls. As he went further downwards, the tunnel widened, and he soon found himself in a cavern.
We need to hide, said Alice through gasps of breath.
The underground, Chand replied. Come on.
The pair ran across the deserted London street and almost fell over themselves in their rush to get inside the tube station.
I can't see them, said Chand as they took a fleeting look out of the building.
No, said Alice, but I can hear them.
Sure enough, the heavy, plodding footsteps of the elephant-like creatures vibrated along the ground. Come on, Al, let's go, said Chand, and they both ran deeper into the underground.
The Doctor studied the electronic systems in front of him and watched the holographic sphere revolve.
Ah, there you are, said the Doctor as he traced Chand and Alice on the system. Right then, I'll have you out there in no time at all. No time.
Just as he was about to transport Chand and Alice out of the bottled London, behind him two voices spoke at the same time.
Don't move.
What is it? Barked one of the green-skinned aliens.
We have captured an intruder, spoke one of the two bowler-hatted wearing robots.
An intruder? He questioned.
Yes, it was attempting to interfere with the equipment.
Put us on the screen.
The Doctor was being held by one of the robots, his arms twisted behind his back in a vice-like grip. In front of him a screen lit up and he came face to face with the alien leader.
Hello, beamed the Doctor. Firstly, let me offer my apologies. I called you Alox.
Incorrect.
So I see. You're Charles, aren't you?
Correct.
Now, how did you get hold of this technology? Asked the Doctor.
You ask a lot of questions. Who are you? Spoke the Shah leader.
Just a traveller. My name's the Doctor. You were about to tell me how you got this technology.
We procured it from an Alok for a very reasonable price, not that it's your concern.
What, an intergalactic car boot sale?
The Aloks had no need for this world that they created once the year had passed, and they'd done their hunting.
Ah, so you're recycling. I understand it's 1946 there,
correct? So the Aloks originally created the Mirror of 1946 London and probably transported countless individuals there to hunt and slaughter, but once that year had passed in real time, they moved on. No doubt to somewhere else, you know, you shouldn't. Well, you've stepped in and reused it. I suppose post-war Britain was the ideal place for a hunt. Still, can't take too many from the 21st century, they'll be missed.
Yes, we like to take our time with the stock we select, draw it out, make them run, starve them, it's more pleasurable.
It's abhorrent, that's what it is. The worst kind of abuse of higher technology, said the Doctor.
Enough. What are you doing there?
Well, I was about to rescue those two you've trapped, actually.
Too late, we've just cornered them. As you're so interested, maybe you'd like to watch the hunt.
No, not really.
Well, you're not going anywhere from now on. You'll see what I see, and I'll see blood. And after we've finished with them, we'll have the pleasure of hunting you.
The three Shahs decamped their mounts, and with weapons in hand, marched towards the entrance of the tube station. The Doctor watched helpless as they powered up their firearms and entered the station.
Chand and Alice could hear the movement echoing down from above.
They found us, panicked Alice.
Maybe we can fight them, suggested Chand, looking around for a suitable weapon.
Chand, they're... began Alice, holding back her tears.
Don't forget about the Doctor, said Chand, hopefully. On the wall, a billboard suddenly came to life with the words, I've been caught. They are coming.
We know, murmured Chand.
The leader is wearing a gold-coloured control unit around his neck. I noticed it when we were having a face-to-face conversation.
So, said Alice, wiping her eyes, if you can destroy it... The writing abruptly ended.
Doctor, said Alice, looking up at the billboard. Inside the cavern, the robot holding the Doctor tightened its grip, and the Doctor realised that the telepathic field generated by the TARDIS had been broken. He closed his eyes and winced, as the robot's clasp got even firmer and hoped that the two strangers could fight back.
He's gone, said Chand.
Right, said Alice, regaining her composure. Well, we know what we need to do. Chand smiled at her.
Good to have you back, El.
Okay, and don't call me El, said Alice.
Anything you say, El.
Alice gave him an unimpressed stare.
Oops. Sorry.
Can you see anything we could use? Asked Alice. They both looked around the platform that they were hiding on.
No, nothing, replied Chand.
Well, what about the wood on that bench?
We could try and prise it off, I suppose.
The couple made their way to the bench, and Chand kicked at one of the wooden panels on the back of the seat, which then splintered and hung off.
Chand, murmured Alice. Be quiet.
Above them, the three Shahs heard the sound, and they now had an idea where their prey was hiding. The three lumbering forms of the Shahs made their way down into the underground. Picking up life signs at 0.3, answered one of the Shahs.
Prepare weapons, said the Shah leader.
The three made their way down onto the platform where Chand and Alice were hiding.
I can smell them, the leader said, sniffing the air.
As he stepped foot onto the platform, he got smacked in the face by Chand, brandishing a plank of wood.
And I can smell you, he said as the leader fell back onto the two other Shahs.
As he fell, Alice leapt forward and pulled the chain away that was attached to the control panel around his neck. She held it in her hand a moment, unsure what to do next.
Break it, yelled Chand, as he poised himself, ready to swing at the Shahs again.
Alice dropped the device to the floor with the heel of her right foot crushed the object.
The Doctor felt the robot's grip loosen, and as he freed himself, both robots seemed to lose all power and stood limp.
He then dived forward towards the control panel. Chan's plank of wood shattered into pieces as it broke against the body of the leader.
Pathetic, he grunted, as the Shahs moved forward and raised their weapons.
Alice cowered in terror behind Chandresh as the Shahs took aim. Both humans closed their eyes and waited for the inevitable.
But when nothing happened, Chand gradually opened his eyes, and he saw that he was standing in front of the Doctor.
Alice.
It's okay, he said, relieved.
Hello, said the Doctor. Good to see you again.
Oh, hi, said Alice, rubbing her eyes and moving out from behind Chand.
You left that to the last possible moment, she added.
Well, you destroyed the control unit which activated these two, whom I believe you've met, so I could then, you know, transport you back.
What about those
Shahs, they called.
Shahs? Questioned Chand.
I thought you called them somethings.
Alloks, yes, my mistake. Allok tech in Shah hands, well, Shah claws.
Oh, right, that's okay then, replied Alice, rubbing her forehead in confusion.
Now, I'm sure you've got a lot of questions that I'll be more than happy to answer, but first, this.
The Doctor moved to the control panel and the screen lit up with the face of the Char leader.
Doctor, the Char leader barked.
Hello, yes, said the Doctor, smiling.
Get us out of here.
Ah, well, now, you see, I'm afraid you're going to have to stay there and cool off.
You can't trap us here.
Oh, yes, I can, replied the Doctor. Maybe I'll let you out one day when I think you've learnt the error of your ways. No, the char leader said, panicking. Bye-bye! The doctor calmly flicked the power off, and pressing another button on the control panel, a small inch-square disc popped out, and he held it up to Chand and Alice. Amazing, isn't it? He said. Chand and Alice once again looked at each other in dismay. The doctor popped the disc in his top pocket, and then from his side pocket he produced the sonic screwdriver. What's that? Asked Alice. This? Oh, it's my sonic screwdriver, replied the doctor, as if the question was an obvious one. Never leave home without it, he added. Just put this equipment beyond use. The screwdriver buzzed, and the equipment popped and fizzled as its circuits fried. What about those two? Mr. Ben and, the other Mr. Ben? Asked Chand. Oh, they'll rust and decompose with time, mused the doctor. Come on, this way, he said, leading Chand and Alice towards the steps. And mind your heads, it gets a little narrower towards the top. The three emerged outside St. Paul's Cathedral, and the doctor permanently sealed the stone sarcophagus. There, he said, no more hunts. Now, would you two like to have a proper look at my home? Yes? No? Asked the doctor. I guess, said Alice, who confirmed what she said with a nodding Chand. Great. This way, then. The doctor unlocked the TARDIS and entered, followed by Chand and Alice, who warily stepped over the threshold. So this is a spaceship. What did you call it? Inquired Alice as she gazed around. Yes, TARDIS, which stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space, which, as I'm sure you now realise, goes some way to explaining how it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. The pair gave bemused nods. As I said, it's my home, and as suggested, it travels through time and space. A time machine, marvelled Chan. Yes. We've had quite a few adventures, actually, haven't we, old girl? The doctor said, brushing the console. Would you like to see what time and space has to offer? Inquired the doctor. Tempting, began Alice, looking towards Chand, who was smiling. But I don't know, doctor. I've got lectures first thing Monday, and my dad always calls on Sunday evening. Well, that's not a problem. I mean, we can go sightseeing around the universe, and I can have you back by then, or, well, any time, really. Well, I'm in, said Chand. Come on, Al, you're studying history, after all. Oh, are you? Asked the doctor. Yes, replied Alice. Okay, then. But I'm absolutely shattered. I need some sleep. The TARDIS has bedrooms, replied the doctor. And I'll need a shower, she added. Check, said the doctor. And food. I'm starving. Chand laughed. Again, check. Happy now, Al? Laughed Chand. Yep, Alice replied with a satisfied grin on her face. But stop calling me Al. Great! Let's get going, said the doctor, twisting the controls on the TARDIS console. Right now the moons are setting over Zeta 11. It's glorious. And with one final twist of a button, the TARDIS was in flight.